Three, two, one.
Welcome to It's Fabulous!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
Oh my gosh, by golly, it is time for a holiday version of Exfabula Radio. I'm Bruce Winter with Leo Delaney, Exfabula co-founder, with stories from past Exfabula events, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. How are you feeling?
Very good. Very somewhat festive, I suppose.
Somewhat, yeah. I as well. Tis the season for me to go shopping for people, and since we're only a few days out from Christmas, I've just been throwing stuff in my basket and trying to think of who to give it to at a later date at this point.
At this point, do I raise my hand and say, here?
Yes, all for you. This cashmere sweater says Bruce to me.
No, it does not. Well, our stories today are about, speaking of giving gifts and things, traditions.
Yeah. We were at the Milwaukee Public Museum on Tuesday, December 14th, not too long ago, where the theme of that story slam was tradition. So due to the fact we're so close to the holidays, we had a lot of holiday-orific stories, and I did bring a couple. So we're going to start out today's show with a story about Marsha Zawiski's tradition. Here's Marsha Zawiski.
So I said to my husband, do we have any traditions? And he said, no, not really. So I called up my son, and I said, when I was a single mom raising you for 14 years, did I help us establish any traditions? And he said, oh, yeah. Every year, we talked about establishing traditions. But then we never established any. Is that a tradition? And then he said, oh, and we left the Christmas tree up every year until April. And I thought, well, that was really just a bad habit. So I don't think that's a tradition. And while I was thinking about this, my sister-in-law contacted me and said, gave me my assignment this year for Thanksgiving. Every year, every family gets assigned a food to bring. It is known in my family that I have to bring something easy. It has to be an easy assignment. I'm not a great cook. So for the first couple years, I was given the assignment of sparkly fake wine for the kiddie table. I aced it. And then I was promoted to pickles. And then I was promoted to cranberry sauce. One year I was given the assignment of pumpkin pie. I thought, this is clearly a mistake. I didn't know what happened, but I practiced and practiced. We ate a lot of pie that season, and then they turned out. I made two homemade pies, and they were pretty good, and nobody got sick. So this year, my assignment was 48 dinner rolls. What was she thinking? I'm the one who brings the easy food to Thanksgiving. I don't know what she was thinking. And my mother was a fantastic cook. The only reason I showed up at any dinner table, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, maybe two other times throughout the year in my home growing up, was because of my mother's yeast rolls. I loved them. They were fantastic, hot and buttery and delicious. They were so good. But I did not inherit my mother's intrinsic ability to cook. I did inherit her love for food, and I also inherited my dad's disposition for an analytical mind. He was a manufacturing engineer. He went to school at MSOE. So I could look at something systematically. I could study a recipe. And if I practiced enough, I could make food that could keep people alive. So I had hope. But I didn't have a recipe. I did research. I studied and studied and studied. I looked on YouTube. I watched all kinds of videos. And I landed on a prestigious Culinary Institute recipe for dinner rolls. And I thought, piece of cake, this is going to be great. They're going to turn out, no problem. They didn't turn out. They flopped. They were disgusting. They were nasty. By this time, it's Wednesday. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. I have no recipe. Then I remembered When my mom died, I got her recipe box. I looked through it, I pulled out a card, and I found a recipe for, it was titled Speedy Dinner Rolls from the Kitchen of Mommy Jurgensen. That was my mom. So, it's Wednesday. I worked until 8 p.m. I got home, and I started making the dough. I made the dough, I formed the rolls, I put them in the pans, and I put them in the refrigerator. Because who wants day-old dinner rolls? I wasn't going to make them that night. So I made the dinner rolls in the morning. Got up, brought the dinner rolls out, let them rise on the counter, put them in the oven, baked them off, and then cooled them. And my husband and I headed to our sister-in-law's house. I walked in. There were 50 people in the house. I made my way to the kitchen, and I put my rolls on the counter in the buffet line. I went to sit down because I was tired but satisfied. And then I heard a commotion over in the buffet line. They were talking about me. Marsha. And then somebody said, "Hey, Marsha, did you bake the dinner rolls?" And I said, "Yes." And they said, "They're fantastic. We love them. They're hot and delicious and buttery." And now I've been given the assignment every year. I have to bring Speedy Dinner Rolls by Mommy Jurgensen. And I realized that it is never too late to start a tradition.
And that was Marsha Zawiski's tradition story that she told at our slam on December 12th at the Milwaukee Public Museum.
And we learned from that story that it's never too late to start a new tradition, whether it's Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, whatever. And you know, maybe this year I'll start a new tradition. I don't know. Don't know what it is, but maybe I'll try it.
And maybe your new ritual is to buy an Exfabula membership, huh, Bruce?
That would be a good idea.
That would be a good idea. Here's another good idea. Here's one from Tony Anderson, our next story from our tradition. Tony Anderson was the Exfabula audience favorite that night. So hold on to your seats. Here's his story. Here's Tony Anderson.
With the holidays upon us, I feel it's important to give you a very serious warning. Santa is dangerous. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Santa, and Santa's always been a very important part of our family's Christmas tradition. When my father was growing up, Santa visited them while they were away at Christmas Eve service, and so they arrived home to find presents. In my mom's family tradition, they woke up on Christmas morning and Santa had visited during the night. Well, since my parents couldn't agree on anything, they decided we were going to have Santa visit twice. And so we reaped the benefit of it. We came home from Christmas Eve service and we found our major presents underneath the Christmas tree. And then when we went to bed, despite the fact that Santa's busy delivering Christmas presents all over the world, he came back a second time and filled our stockings. It was a tradition that we carried on with our own children once I got married. But about 5 years ago, my views on Santa changed. I started teaching second grade, and I found out something very important. Santa is the most dangerous minefield I can walk when I'm talking with my 7 and 8 year old students. Now, most of them are fierce believers in Santa Claus. A few of them are starting to question things. And unfortunately, there are a few who do not believe and feel it's their job to enlighten the rest of their peers. The other problem is Santa can pop up anytime, any place. So one time, months after Christmas was over, I was reading a book about polar bears to my 7 and 8 year olds. And I was telling them that polar bears are predators, and they eat seals and small walruses and caribou. And one of my students said, "Well, Mr. Anderson, what's a caribou?" And I wasn't even thinking about it. And I said, "Well, it's a reindeer." And one horrified student said, "They eat Santa's reindeer?" I realized I had just stepped on a landmine. Fortunately, one of my really bright students spoke up and said, "No, they can't eat Santa's reindeer. They're too fast and they can fly." Whew. Another time, we were on Google Earth, and we're looking at the pyramids of Giza and the Great Wall of China. And I said, where do you guys want to go next? And of course, the answer was the North Pole. We want to see Santa's workshop. I don't think we can do that, guys. Well, why not? It's hidden by Christmas magic? And that seemed to suffice. So, 2 years ago, we had successfully navigated the Christmas season. Winter break was over, we came back, no Santa incidents. And I was relieved. We were coming back from lunchtime recess, and one of my really impulsive students came inside and he said, well, you know, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And one of my believers said, yes, there is. Otherwise, who eats the Christmas cookies? It was flawless logic. But the decrier was undeterred. And so he said, no, there isn't. And I gave him my best teacher look. And I silently mouthed the words, stop right now. And then I got my students to gather up their supplies and we headed off to art class. And once we got there, I pulled my impulsive student aside and I let the rest of the students go into class. And once I realized it was safe, I turned to him and I said, it's okay if you know that there's no such thing as Santa. But please, think about your classmates. Don't wreck this for them. Think about their parents. And his eyes got really wide, and he looked at me. And he said, well, I didn't know. And I said, what? But you said... And he said, well, my cousin told me there was no such thing as Santa, but I didn't believe him. Santa truly is the most dangerous minefield in second grade.
There ain't no Santa Claus. Oh, no, there ain't no Santa Claus. Take a tip from me. It's a fantasy, 'cause there ain't no Santa Claus.
And that was the audience favorite, Tony Anderson, from our Tradition Story Slam from December 12th.
I think a lot of parents go through that, why did we ever tell our children about Santa Claus? Because now they realize we've been lying to them for how many years? But it is a minefield. You know, when do you reveal that Santa is just a story?
I know.
And
this
poor man has to probably go through it every year in second grade. So. Good stuff.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Yes. So, a lot of good stuff. We do have those Xfabula memberships online that make great Christmas presents and holiday presents. So, I definitely recommend everyone go to xfabula.org for that information, as well as all of the other Story Slam and story events that we are having in this lovely city of Milwaukee.
Enjoy your holiday weekend.
Ho, ho, ho. Back to you.
And we'll be here one more time before the year is out next weekend.
Right. See you then.
All right.
All my own. I'll lead a life just like a queen and see strange lands I've never seen. And all before I'm 17, with television in our home. I want a television Christmas with all the glamour and the fun. With all the plays and stars I'll see, the whole world in the room with me. Oh, what a dream world it would be, a magic television Christmas.